Coming up next, U.S. schools waste nearly $2 billion on this. And then my predictions for the job market ahead. And of course, we're going to take your calls. Don't go anywhere because it starts right now. All right, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you win at work and in life. Life is too short for you to just work for the weekend. Money and meaning. I want you to make a bunch of money and experience a bunch of meaning in your work. Let's go. All right, so on my quest to stop people from falling into the river of meaninglessness at work, I've got to get upstream. And I'm taking on our broken education system. It is a reoccurring thing. I'm not going to stop until I can raise enough of a ruckus that some of you people out there will use your power of being a parent or your power of being a voter. And let's get control of this. This is widespread. Every time I post something on social or talk about it on the show, everybody goes, "Amen, Ken." Our education system is broken. We are creating test takers, not pathfinders. I'll say it again. We are creating test takers, not pathfinders. I've been talking to teachers, diving deep. And so now I'm diving even deeper, and I'm going to really hack off some people today. Because higher education, as well as K through 12, leadership, it has become about profiteering, not preparing our kids for the future. Yes, I said it. I'll say it again, really slowly. Education has become about profiteering, not preparing. Oh, Ken, you got up on the wrong side of the bed. Somebody peed in your cornflakes. No, I've got some facts. Here are the problems, and I'm going to give you the money. I'm going to chase the money. I'm going to show you. But here's what's fueling. The profiteering is fueling these problems. Number one, it's a money crunch on states. And they're spending money on testing, standardized testing that's all political and all about profit. And so it's a waste of money that could be paying teachers more, paying teachers better. It could be going towards good programs. But it's all on standardized testing. More on that in a second. It's creating hundreds of hours of preparation just to take the stupid, worthless standardized testing. Hundreds of hours during the school day, week, months, and year on behalf of students and teachers, hundreds of hours that are wasted instead of preparing them for things they need to learn, like creative thinking, critical thinking. And finally, it's creating the wrong focus for teachers. They tell me, Ken, we teach for the test. We're not teaching the topics. We're teaching for the standardized test. We're measured completely by that. It's creating too much stress for kids. When my kids were in elementary school, like your kids, they were coming home and they were stressed out of their mind about the stupid standardized tests. Stressed out of their mind. Why? Because the teachers are stressed out about it. The principals are stressed out about it. It's all backwards. All right, now let's chase the money. Now, these are not current pieces of data because this stuff is hard to find because the politicians and the education fat cats, bureaucrats, are hiding this information. Now, this is a couple of years old, but nearly $2 billion, $1.7 billion spent in 2020 on standardized testing in the U.S. each year. Another $669 million is spent on elementary assessments. That's just high school, $1.7 billion. $669 million spent on elementary school assessments. So who's making this money? Who's getting the money? I'm glad you asked. I have it right here. Pearson is the big 800-pound gorilla in the education testing market. They reported revenues in 2018 of $5.5 billion. The people that are making standardized tests profits, excuse me, revenues of $5.5 billion. Now, let's just pause for a second. Why do we need to pay anybody $5.5 billion for standardized tests? How about we just focus on the tests the kids take for English and history and science? Why do we let the parents decide? $5.5 billion to be tested on common crap? I mean, core? What happened? No, seriously. What happened to the days of just saying, Susie took English this year. She tends to do better in reading comprehension. She struggles with diagramming in a sentence. We can assess her based on how she does in the class. We got to take a standardized test to grade the teachers and the principals? Folks, am I the only one that finds this to be ludicrous? Ridiculous? And by the way, I just used two big words there, and I was a C student my whole life. Thank you very much. Our studio audience out there enjoyed that joke. Next, how about number two, educational testing services? They are Pearson's major competitor. They had revenues of $2.1 billion. The College Board, another educational testing nonprofit. By the way, all those are nonprofits. Which, by the way, doesn't mean they don't profit. They do. They wouldn't have their doors open. But they're getting all the tax benefits. I don't have time to cover this today, but go look at all the political ties and how much these companies I'm telling you about pay their lobbyists to lobby congressmen and senators and the National Education Association. Folks, it's a racket. None of which, by the way, is preparing your kids for a future. Certainly the new future. $1.68 billion. Top three. So I'm adding this up really quick. I was not good in math. I dropped college algebra six times. Let me just add this up really quick. I'm not very good in math, but I tend to be very successful. I'm sorry. If I took a standardized test today, it would say, oh, Kenny's got problems. No, he doesn't. Because I got talent. I got talent in other areas. I suck in math. Real quick, let's see. We got 1.06, 2.1. So that gets us to 3. Let's call it, let's call it 3.1 and then the 5.5. We're approaching $9 billion on standardized testing. How's that working out for you, parents? How's it working out? Is it providing any great clarity for your kids to pick a college that they don't need and can't afford? Oh, did I say that out loud too? We got to wake up. We got teachers that are leaving in droves. Listen to me. Teachers are resigning in droves. Record numbers are leaving. Principals are leaving. The system's broken. I've talked to teachers. They're telling me, Ken, it's all about profit. It's all about dollars and cents, not common sense. It's all about performance and not preparation. It's all about, does the school perform? And parents, you're just as guilty as the politicians, because you're hovering and you're helicoptering and you want your kids to get great grades so you can brag about them, so you get to college so you can brag some more. Wake up! I'm tired of it. And I'm going to keep railing on this. I want to create pathfinders, not test takers. And so do you. Stay tuned. In the news next. All right, folks, welcome back. I'm making a little bit of a stink. I'm raising a ruckus. We got some systemic problems that are creating adults that spend their life wandering from job to job. Alex, program note for content in the future. I was doing some research before the show today. Hi, folks. Welcome to a live show where I go where my brain tells me to go. Boomerang. Boomerang employees. Have you heard of this, Alex? Yeah, these are people that change jobs in 2021 for a paycheck, and then they regretted it. We've had those calls. Amanda takes those calls. She sets them up for me, and they want to go back to their previous employer because the grass was not greener. We need to do a whole segment of teaching. I got thoughts on boomerang. By the way, I wrote a book that would address this. It's called From Paycheck to Purpose. If you chase the paycheck, and millions of Americans have, and the paycheck wears off, and it does, And once it wears off from you feeling good about yourself, telling everybody, I got a 20% raise, look at me, right? And it looks good in your bank account, I won't deny any of this, but that wears off. And if you're in a crappy culture doing work that is not meaningful, you will still be miserable. I don't know. This is not hard to say. It's not hard to understand. All right, quick in the chat room. For those of you who are watching the show live or later, if you watch us live every day on YouTube, you can jump in the chat room. And we've got a couple things I want to acknowledge. I just want to say hi to Jaja Brownie. First of all, what a great username. Username of the day, Jaja Brownie. I like that. By the way, I'm also hungry all of a sudden. And Jaja says, oh, I'm glad I finally made a live show. So welcome, Jaja, to your first viewing of the Ken Coleman Show live. But then Power Play Christina Watts, who would have been the username of the day. I mean, that's a great name. Power Play Christina Watts. I was going to give her username of the day, but then Jaja Brownie jumped in and I thought, well, I'm always going to go with a brownie. There's no question in my mind the brownie's going to win. But she says, it's true. She's talking about my opening rant. Standardized testing has been twisted from its original intent, which was to track and assess a student's academic growth. And now it's used to assess teacher effectiveness. Diagramming a sentence, because I dropped that little nugget in there, sentence diagramming. We don't do that anymore because it can't be tested. Of course. Of course you can't test it. Well, what's the whole purpose of diagramming a sentence? Oh, I don't know. Critical thinking! Oh, did my voice go up a little bit? It happens from time to time. See, we're not teaching kids how to think. We're teaching kids how to memorize. I'll drop another bomb for folks that are catching up. The public education system, and largely private schools too. We have, listen to me, folks. It's all about memorization and regurgitation. Not imagination and inspiration. Isn't that what learning is? Isn't learning in some ways about wondering what could be? See, we've distorted and perverted learning. Oh, here we got a junior rant, Alex. Junior rant. Little rant coming. When did learning become about memorizing something and reciting it? See, that's memorization. My daughter will, she's the lead in a local play this Friday. And she's been working very hard on her lines and she's crushing it. And she, the other day for my mother-in-law, she did the entire play. Right there in the living room, she just, all of her lines. Well, she's crushing it. Is Josie learning anything by memorizing the lines? Is she? No. The only thing Josie will learn, this is good, I'm dropping some gold. The only thing Josie will learn in that play is she will learn how to interact with the audience. She will learn discipline. She will learn so many other practical things by the act of discipline. But as it relates to knowledge, Josie's not learning anything. She's memorizing the lines in a play. But this is what we call learning now. That's not learning. So when I say imagination and inspiration, to me, that's learning. When I began to think about the scientific method and the scientific process, the hypothesis, this is what inventors do. We are learning by imagining what could be. And then we begin to test. See, that's learning. We learn when we read a chapter from a book and then we discuss the author's intent. We discuss the characters. Then we begin to learn. But when we learn to answer a test question, we're not learning anything. We are memorizing. I don't know why we don't get this, parents. And at what point do we say enough is enough? We're not teaching kids about themselves. Here's what we do. We learn about the planets. Oh, I know where Pluto is, but I can't tell you my purpose. It's all whacked out, folks. Who gives a crap where Pluto is? Quite frankly, nobody. Unless you are into that thing, and great. But nobody really cares. We know about the stars. We know about the planets. We know about geography, all this stuff. And all that stuff is fine. We don't know ourselves. We're not teaching kids how to see their uniqueness and in their uniqueness contribute greatness. We're not doing this, and we need to do it. All right, first subject I want to get to, February jobs report. Let's break it down in the news. Yeah. Okay, I like to keep you folks up to date on what's going on here because we have the hottest job market in the history of the United States. So where are we at right now? So the February jobs report, the U.S. added 440,000 jobs in February. Unemployment rate fell to 3.9%. Okay, but what's ironic about this, and we're going to cover this as we continue going forward here on the headlines, just because unemployment rate is low doesn't mean that we don't have some job market issues. For instance, we have more jobs available than we have people who are unemployed. Obviously, this continues to be a big gap. They're calling it the employment gap, the talent gap. We'll break that down. It's not going anywhere anytime soon, but it's going to create some very interesting market indicators. Because right now, we're in a really hot economy, despite the fact that inflation is out of control, prices are soaring. We'll see what happens. All right. So that's the first thing. That's where we are now. We're continuing to see jobs being added. Okay. That's a good thing right now because it is on behalf of you. I'm a man of the people. This is a buyer's market, if you will, a job seeker's market. All right. Next story. Moving on. Forbes magazine did a really good summary of several reports. Let me just break this down. LinkedIn did the 2022 Global Talent Trends Report. The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics did their employment projections for 2020 to 2030. So they kind of say, okay, this is a crystal ball over the next 10 years. This is what we see happening in the job market. And then LinkedIn did a report called the 2022 Jobs on the Rise. So what they do, they're analyzing jobs that are really hot. Seeing a lot of jobs added in specific sectors of the economy, okay? So based on the information I just gave you, 3.9% unemployment, okay? The tight labor market, what's causing it? We have a lot more data than we had a year ago. Okay, couple things. Population growth is a real thing. It's no longer a trend. It is a steady pattern of population growth. We've seen some limits on immigration, and we see aging baby boomers retiring. Okay, so all of that means there's less people available for jobs. Now, the Bureau of Labor Statistics is projecting a large number of open positions will remain through 2030. When the youngest boomers, it's my parents, the youngest boomers, they'll reach their traditional retirement age. What is interesting is the boomerang employee, which I touched on a moment ago, where people, they changed jobs. They went, woohoo, I'm going to upgrade my paycheck. And then they got there and like, oh, man, this place is no fun. Healthcare sector remains red hot. Between 2020 and 2030, the healthcare and social assistance sectors will add the most jobs of any industry sector. Now, what that is you don't have to be a qualified medical for instance, a nurse or a PA, physician assistant or a doctor, because they're seeing just healthcare assistant jobs exploding. Or many times they're doing a lot of the physical stuff that don't require the medical knowledge. Okay. And that's because we have an aging population. Another big takeaway, HR positions are exploding because companies realize we got to do more to attract and retain talent. Talent acquisition specialist. So it's kind of a new title. And then diversity and inclusion managers. And then here's the other thing. Employees are demanding more work-life balance, and remote work is here to stay. Those are all the trends. It's not going anywhere. Your calls are up next. Don't move. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, helping you win at work and win in your life. Your work life and your personal life are connected whether you realize them or not. If your home life is on fire, you're bringing that to the office, and then the converse is true, and this is where we spend most of our focus on the show. If your work life, if you're stressed out of your mind, you're burned out, you're in a toxic situation, you're bored out of your skull, that is going to go home with you as well. And so we want to help you win in both of those areas. One way we do that is by giving you great resources. I want to tell you about my friends at ZipRecruiter. You've heard a lot about Phil. You've seen it in Times Square ads all over the internet. Thank you, Phil. Thank you, Phil, from ZipRecruiter. Stephanie W. said, Phil, you made my job search a priority and you stuck with me throughout the process. I couldn't have done it without you. You want Phil from ZipRecruiter in your corner. If you want an easier job search, it is a free service for you. Companies are paying ZipRecruiter. They need talent. That's you. Go to ZipRecruiter.com. ZipRecruiter.com so Phil and his colleagues can help you win. In the chat room here in our YouTube, on our YouTube channel, I had a question here I wanted to just quickly. Barbara Finley said, my sister is 60. Her husband left and spent all their money. Boy, I'd like to get a hold of this guy. I'd like to get him in a room with a wiffle ball bat and wear him out. What kind of a move is that? I mean, it's one thing if you leave your wife, but you're going to go spend all their money? Come on, man. She's been working a part-time job since the kids grew up and left home. Now she needs a full-time job, and she's at a loss what to do. Would your book, From Paycheck to Purpose, help her at this point? Yes, Barbara, it would. Get her the book. Bless her with it. Get her the Get Clear Career Assessment bundle. Have her take the assessment and then read the book. The assessment, the Get Clear Career Assessment, picture it as your compass. It'll help you see professional mountains that you can and should climb. And then think of the book, From Paycheck to Purpose, as your guide up the mountain. You can get that at kencoleman.com. All right, to the phones we go right here in our backyard, Nashville, Tennessee. Dustin is on the line. Dustin, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, how you doing today?
I'm living the dream, Dustin. What are you doing?
Hey, I'm trying to. That's all what right. I'm trying to do.
Good.
So a couple things. So, you know, I'm a regular listener, but let me go through this real quick with you first. As far as like my purpose statement goes, it says that I am, my talents are instruction, justice, and organization in that order. And then my passions are leading, performing, and teaching in that order. And then my mission is achievement. Okay. So my question to you is this. I was actually a teacher for about 9 years. And I was chasing the dream job of basically moving up into administration. Mm-hmm. And I don't know now that since we're post-pandemic or getting close to it, if that's actually the dream. I know that you talk about having the ladder propped up on the wrong side of the, mm-hmm. you know, of the building sometimes. So it's one of those questions on, you know, how do you figure out if, you know, the dream job has changed? Because I'm like, so I'm currently in an administration role. And then the next thing would be there's a same job or similar job in a separate district that pays about $20,000 less, but it's actually in my backyard. So I just kind of want to hear your thoughts on this.
Well, I don't like you taking a position that seems pretty clear to me is not your dream job for $20,000 less just because it's in your zip code. So I don't like that option at all.
So I didn't either.
Okay, great. So let's strike that one. I hate that one. All right. Now, you thought administration was your dream job. You're speaking in past tense. I don't think it's your dream job. The question is why. What's not dreamy about it? What is dreamy? What's not dreamy? Go.
You know, I think it's one of those things where the public education has definitely changed tremendously. And then with the pandemic as well, I think that's definitely, I think it's definitely taken a toll on everybody in the education field.
Are you a principal?
Assistant principal.
Yeah. So did you? So you hear me? Did you hear my rant to open to the Today Show by any chance?
I heard most of it.
Do you agree or disagree with me?
I agree with you,
folks. This is a professional. Dustin's the professional. I'm just a loudmouth with a show. But Dustin, I'm trying to help these people understand. You all are dealing with all this crap and pressure from standardized testing and everything else, and it's killing you. It's killing your teachers.
Absolutely.
So you're doing the right thing. This is my take. You tell me if this feels right. I think you're doing the right thing, the right kind of work, but you're doing it in the wrong place because of the public education system where it's no longer about instruction, or primarily it's not about instruction, the pressure you're getting. The teachers you are leading can't really truly instruct anymore. So I feel like that's where it's off. But the idea of leading people, the idea of performing, driving results, I just don't think you can do that where you are. True or false?
Yeah, I would say that's true. I also think that that's probably true for the majority of the places that's out there right now as well.
That's right. So my point is we change lanes. We don't change the work. Make sense?
Gotcha. Uh-huh.
So
my struggle with that is, though, is like where I don't know where to look.
Okay, well, I'll help you with that. Tell the audience one more time what your top three passions were when you took the Get Clear Career Assessment. And by the way, if you're new to the show, I define passion as work you love. So when he says this, these are kind of big boilerplates describing work. What were your top three passions?
Passions were leading, performing, and teaching.
Okay. So where outside of the public school system can you lead, perform through leading because you're driving results by serving your team, and you're also a big part of your leading style and your leading responsibility is teaching and instructing. Where could you do that besides the public school system? Can you do that in the private business sector? I'm going to give you multiple choice. I'm going to flip it on you. Can you do that kind of work in the private sector, business?
I guess that you could. My struggle is I know that, you know, you talk about getting connected and things like that, but whenever I'm trying to do that, I don't see those types of openings.
Okay, well, you're not looking in the right place. Is a leadership position, let's just call it management of a team at company XYZ, will you have the opportunity to lead, to perform, and to teach? Yes or no?
I believe so, yeah.
The answer is yes. You're looking around for something to jump off the page and smack you in the face and go, this is perfect. And first of all, that doesn't exist. Secondly, you feel, I think one of your natural insecurities, which is normal, is that you've been in the teaching profession and your leadership experience in the education sector won't transfer to the business sector. Is that true or false? That you feel that?
Oh, that's 100% true. 100% true.
I know, but it's also 100% false. It's 100%. It's 100% true that you believe that, but it's 100% false.
Yes.
I mean, I could sit there right now and go, I'm telling you, I heard a noise under my bed last night, and I'm convinced there's an 800-pound purple dragon under there. I believe that. Does that make it true? Come on,
no.
Talk to me. No, there's not.
Oh, yeah, no, not
there's
at
not
all.
An 800-pound purple dragon under my bed. So at some point, we got to go, wait a second. I am holding me back. So we cannot see what we don't focus on. So I'm actually going to teach you and the audience a lesson, Dustin. Okay?
I'm all about it.
Okay, so here's my advice in the form of a lesson. All of our brains have this thing called the reticular activating system, RAS. And it's very simple. Our brain acts as a camera, and it takes pictures of what we focus on. So what we mentally think about, our brain goes, oh, that's what we're looking for. I'm going to go take pictures of it. Give you a couple quick examples. If I'm feeling very much like a victim on a certain day, every experience I have that day, I will feel like someone may be treating me poorly. The one that everybody seems to go aha on is, think about the last time you bought a car, Dustin. Do you remember buying that car?
I do.
Do you remember commenting to your friends and family how you saw it everywhere for the next 5-6 days as you were driving around?
Oh, for sure. Yep.
Now, wait a second. What happened there? Did the god of cars drop those cars down into the traffic system just to kind of mess with you? No, you focused on that car intently because you were making a very serious purchase. You were probably excited about that purchase. And as a result, your brain said, oh, we're focused on this now. I'm going to go see it. Here's my point. You're scared to death that those jobs aren't out there for you, leadership positions in other sectors. And so that's your primary thought, and your brain is proving it to you. But if you begin to say, wait a second, I know that there are multiple jobs for me out there in multiple sectors where I can take my experience and my skill set and lead, I'm going to begin to look for those. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to see them just like that. So my homework assignment for you is start looking at jobs that filter through your purpose statement from the Get Clear Career Assessment. And now you know, oh, this is a good fit. Don't move. More of your calls coming up. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you make more income, increase that income, and increase your impact. All of us long to make a difference in the world. What if you could spend most of your day using what you do best to do work you love, to produce results that matter deeply to you? What would that feel like? I got the answer. It'd feel like a dream job. And it is not a dream in the sense of a fantasy. It is a dream that is doable. I want to help you. Cleves, Ohio is where we go next. Tim joins us there. Tim, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, hello. Ken. How are you?
Tim, I'm living the dream. What can I help you with?
Okay, I'm interested in becoming a leader in my career, and I want to become a servant leader. Mm-hmm. What resources can you provide or steer me to help better understand what that all entails and how to become a servant leader?
Yeah. What's your preference in learning? Is it reading? Is it podcast? Is it watching videos? Going to conferences? Give me some parameters and I'll make some recommendations for you.
Probably for me, it's reading. That way I can sort of visualize and come back to it. And my background is in mathematics, so I'm very analytical. Mm. So having it spelled out and going to a discussion would be good for me to start with. And then also probably to hook up with some other leadership coaches who are experts at servant leadership to have a discussion back and forth.
Okay, this is good. Okay, before I give you a couple resources, I actually want to get that analytical brain of yours relaxed. Your brain is so wound up right now. I literally felt like I could hear it smoking a little bit as you go, how do I figure out this servant leadership thing? It feels like that right now. And here's what I want to set you free. Okay, I'm going to give you some great leadership books to read. But understand that there's a lot of principles in these things and tactical things that you can learn to do. But servant leadership is not about tactics at all. Servant leadership is about heart. Do you understand that?
I do, and that's where my problem is because, like I said, my background is analytics.
No. Nope, I'm not going to let you do that. You started to go, well, can I? That's why I'm just analytical and I don't know. Here's what I want you to do. Real quick, 30 seconds or less, I want you to blurt out words. Doesn't have to be pretty. Okay? Describe the word servant. Define it for me.
Someone who cares and puts others before them.
Great. Someone who cares and puts others before them. How do you go about caring for others in the workplace? Go ahead. There's no wrong answer. I'm not testing you. I'm asking you, describe for me how you would go about serving others in the workplace. I'm not even saying from a leadership position because your analytical brain's already trying to lock up on you. How do you serve people in the workplace?
By making sure they have the resources they need to do their job.
Fantastic answer. Fantastic answer. Okay, so I'm going to give you two questions that as a leader, no matter how analytical and mathematical you are, you will win, and then I'll give you some books. You ready? Here are the two questions that you need to ask on a regular basis to the people you lead. You ready?
Yes.
How are you doing? That is not a greeting that you throw at them as you walk by them 50 miles an hour in the hallway. That is a look at them in the eye and go, how are you doing? And you personalize the question. I'm giving it to you as a basic question. You personalize it. How is your son doing? I know that he's struggling. Or whatever it is. You got to know enough about him to be able to ask that question. And it's got to be specific. How are you doing? That's a personal question that develops relationship. First and foremost, they care. They feel cared for. They feel valued. And as a result, their trust increases in you. And then that leads to the second question you ask on a regular basis. How can I help you win in your job? People will not answer that second question as honestly as they need to for you to be able to serve them until they know you care about them. Because a lot of people are afraid to admit weakness, to admit that they need some more help or some handholding because they feel like, oh, the boss is going to penalize me for sharing weakness or an area of I'm just unsure. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Yeah, you do. So that's the two questions. All right, here are the books. I want you to get Entree Leadership. I'm going to give it to you. Hold on the line. Entree Leadership, our best-selling book by Dave Ramsey. Tell you how we do things here at Ramsey Solutions. And then the 21 Laws of Leadership by my former boss and leader, John Maxwell. Read those and make it happen. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, helping you make more money and experience more meaning. I want you to truly live your dream. I'm doing it. I figured out how to get there. I've written books on it. We get free articles. We got a great assessment that'll help you figure out that idea. Wherever you are on the journey, I'm telling you, come on, the water's really nice over here. And I want you to join me in the water. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Quick question in the chat room. Jonathan P. wants to know, how comfortable is your studio chair, 1 to 10? I've never been asked this, so now I got to figure out. I always sit on the edge. I'm an on-the-edge guy. You know, I'm practically jumping out of the chair. If I could do the show standing up, if they'd let me, I'd do it. Well, let me see here. You know, I'm going to give it a good 7. You know, could be better. I could have some more cushion. You know, I'm a big cushion guy. I don't have much cushion that I'm sitting on, but the back is nice. And for what it is, it's probably a 9 functionality-wise. But there you go, Jonathan. There's a little behind-the-scenes question. All right, Mike is up in Deer Lodge. Boy, if there's any place that I would like to be from, Deer Lodge, Montana. Doesn't that just sound nice? I just picture everybody sitting by a giant stone fireplace with a steaming hot cup of coffee, nice blankets. Deer, where are you from? Deer Lodge, Montana. That's kind of nice. Let's go to Mike. Mike, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Mike, are you sitting by a fire with a steaming cup of coffee with a really warm blanket?
No.
It doesn't feel like it. Okay. All right, we tried.
No.
Mike, how can I help?
Well, I work on a ranch here outside of town, and I love my job. I love the job description, uh-huh. if you will. Uh-huh. But I've been here for 8 years, and I'm just feeling not super appreciated, not sure if, like, should I stay, should I go look for something else, should I approach my boss and say, hey, I'm not happy.
Well, it's interesting. I want you to break this down. I love the job is what you started with. Love the job description, love the job, but you're not happy. So this is really good. I love that you set it up this way because you can love your wife, you can love your husband, you can be in a committed, loving relationship and have seasons where you're not happy. So this is really interesting. Just like in a marriage, when we go, okay, I love you, but I'm not happy. Should I go talk to my boss? Yeah, I mean, I'd want to talk to my spouse. I'd want my spouse to talk to me, right? We can't ignore it. It's not going to get better. So on one hand, the answer is yes. But before we decide that that is the best strategy, we love the job, but we're not happy. Why? Specifically why? You already touched on one thing. I think it's more than one thing. You said you don't feel appreciated.
Yeah, it's...
What does that mean?
There used to be another guy that worked here with me. He left like 3 years ago, kind of for the same reasons.
What does that mean?
I feel like there is...
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I really want us to dive into this. I'm your coach and a little bit of counselor here. What specifically is not being shown to you, or what is being shown to you that makes you feel like that your leader doesn't appreciate you? What is it specifically?
Well, to start with, like, this other fellow left 3 years ago, man, and I've been trying to carry the burden, you know, but everything's still the same as far as wages and compensation and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, you know? So your colleague left 3 years ago. They didn't replace him. You picked up a lot of the slack, and you've not gotten a raise or a promotion in that three-year period where you've picked up the slack.
Yes.
Okay, good. That's what I needed to know. Have you brought it up?
Yeah.
Has this been discussed with your leader?
No.
So for 3 years, you've picked up the slack, and you haven't had one conversation about the fact that, hey, do you think I'm doing a good job picking up the slack? Is there something more that you want me to do? How can I grow here in my responsibilities so that I can grow my income? None of that's been discussed.
No.
Okay. Now, there's two things here. There are two people who are at fault. Okay. your leader is at fault. This is poor leadership. I mean, it just is. I'm not saying that your leader is a bad person. Keep in mind, you can be a poor leader and not a bad person. Now, you can also be a poor leader because you're a bad person. In this case, I'm not saying this is a bad person, but I'm saying this is for sure poor leadership to not recognize you. I mean, the leader's very aware that you picked up the slack. And I'm guessing you've not had any negative reviews. The leader hasn't sat you down and said, hey, you know, Mike, you're not doing a good job, right? That hasn't happened?
No.
Okay, so if that's on him, he's not recognized you and rewarded you. That's him. That's a bad leadership move. People need to be recognized for your unique contribution, and people need to be rewarded for the hard work. And it's not always a financial reward. He's not done that. That's poor leadership. That's on him. But I will also tell you that some of this is on you as well. Because what I have found about poor leaders, many of them are unaware that they're leading poorly. Now, had you brought this up to him once and he did nothing about it, I'd go, it's all on him. But part of this is on you, because sometimes poor leaders, they go, well, you didn't say anything, Mike.
Yeah.
And so here's my point. To answer your first question and primary question of the call, yeah, I do think you need to tell him that you're not happy, but I would not say it that way. You don't go in and go, hey, I'm not happy. What you do is you go in and you go, tell him exactly what you told me. Hey, on paper, this is my dream job. Or I love this job. Doesn't have to be dream job, but hey, on paper, I love this job. Yeah. I love the job description. And so I love the job description, and I did love this job. I don't love it now. But I'll tell you, I need to tell you as my leader, I owe this to you. And I'm sorry I haven't told you sooner. You need to own this. By the way, in taking this tack, and you use the words you want to use, but I'm modeling this and role-playing this for you. So okay. By saying, hey, I should have told you this sooner. I owe this to you, my leader, and I didn't tell you. I was afraid to bring it up to you because I didn't want you to take it the wrong way. I didn't want in any way to get punished or put my job or performance in any jeopardy. But here's the deal. I'm not happy. And the primary reason is when Larry left, or whatever the guy's name is, you gave me his responsibilities or a big chunk of them. I took them on. I've not heard anything from you that I'm not doing a good job picking up the slack. So I assume as of this meeting today that I'm doing a good job. But it has worn me out. It is more time. It is more stress. Lay it out what it really is. I don't think any of this will be a big surprise. But you got to go, and here's the deal. And so it's been 3 years and we've not had one conversation. Part of that's on me. I should have brought it up to you. I want to grow here. I want to grow. What does a ladder look like here at this ranch? I'd like to climb it. I'd like to help you build the ladder. I should have told you this sooner. So I'm not here threatening. I'm not demanding anything. I'm just asking. Can we talk about growing my responsibilities and thus growing my pay and so I can make a better life? I mean, that's how I'd approach it. Now, after that happens, if the leader doesn't do anything and just empty promises or doesn't say anything at all, it just is what it is. Now you then have the sign. The sign is now saying it's time for you to look elsewhere. As of right now, I don't know. But that's what you got to do first. And then based on his response as a leader, if he doesn't do anything about it and you don't feel good about the plan, see, because he can do something about it, but if you don't go, this isn't a real growth plan. This isn't a ladder. I don't see myself here long term. If you don't feel that way, it's time to look and it's time to leave once we find something to replace it. Mike, get your head up. The good news is this. You know what you love to do. So now, if this isn't the place to do it, that's okay. There are many other places in this world where you can do the work you love and you can find it because you know exactly what you're looking for. So appreciate the call. Get your head up. But folks, let me tell you something. I get a lot of calls like this with Mike, and Mike, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage the rest of the audience. You have got to have the courage. I understand it's scary. It feels like a confrontation, but it doesn't have to be ugly. It doesn't have to be unhealthy, but you got to have the conversation because a lot of leaders aren't clued in. They're not paying attention to you. They don't even know. You got to tell them. Then you see what happens. All right. For our listening audience, I got to wrap up. Thank you so much for joining us. For our viewing audience, stay tuned. We got a little bonus segment coming for you. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like Borrowed Future. Not so fun fact, America has a $1.6 trillion student loan crisis, and it's out of control. I'm George Camel, host of the Borrowed Future podcast, where we uncover the underbelly of the student loan industry and show you what you can do about it. It'll inspire you to see that it is possible to avoid student loans and graduate college debt-free. Listen to Borrowed Future wherever you listen to podcasts.